God's Dabar Love, a Soliloquy. If you could dramatize God's message to the human race in a movie soliloquy, his message would go something like this. Small font notes like this one generally cross-reference or otherwise offer material explanation which is outside the soliloquy, but occasionally are part of it. You'll be able to tell the difference. Hello, I'm God the Father, your real and ultimate Father. I hope you'll forgive me if I speak, using various anthropopathisms and morphisms, and even slang. Your mind needs them for comfort, clarity, and cogitation. As your father, I do not wish to just bing my word into your head, since all communication should be received based upon recipient choice. Love is like that, it never likes coercion or manipulation. Love loves choice instead. And here is my choice, to make sons from my son. That is the contract I made with him, as God, in eternity past, Isaiah chapter 53 verses 10 to 12. That is, he wanted to add humanity to himself, thus being DNA, so I could make DDNA, divine DNA, out from him. BHS and LXX of Isa 53 to 10:12. You need both God-breathed MSS texts to see what I ordered written. These verses are not wholly translated, and are also mistranslated. As a result, every human being can choose to be made like my son, out from the very nature of my son's thinking, which, as a result of the contract completed by him, is DDNA. Hence, his DDNA, thinking, is clonable in you. That thinking was put in writing, as I'd long promised, over a protracted period of 1,500 years, given to selected individuals trained by the Holy Spirit, to write. You call these writings the 66 books of the Bible. So you can get that thinking, and due to it, can be made like he was made, by agency of the Holy Spirit's mothering. The Holy Spirit chooses to play a mothering role, viz. Gen 1, 2's Rahaf, Titus chapter 3 verse 5, EPH 5:18, EPH 4:30, 1 Cor 6, 1 Cor 12, etc. But only insofar as you choose to reside in my system, the essence of which is described in the God's system, link at the top of this webpage. For divine DNA is divine thought, and thus it is infinitely replicating, both qualitatively infinite and quantitatively infinite, just as DNA and RNA work in the human body. The divine instruction set of truth, my attribute, can be replicated in a human being, and the angels, too. The replication is only desirable if you wish to know me and live with me forever. If so, this DDNA thought can be replicated in you, to the degree you prefer to have it, versus your own thinking. Your choice, to the degree you prefer to have it, your own soul will become like my son's. Think of this replication as spiritual engineering, which is always subject to your free consent. 1. For you see, I am God, hence totally free. So I would never structure anything for free will creation, except via their free consent. Because I am God, I am omnipotent, all I need do is think a thing, and it is so. So too can my Son, who instantly made the universe, Gen 1:1. So too can the Holy Spirit, who for teaching mankind purposes, motheringly dawdled over 6 days in restoring the earth, Gen 1:2ff. Think of me as the chairman of the board of the Voluntary Godhead Corporation, or Trinity Corporation, if you will. God is uncreated, so the terms Father, Son, and Spirit indicate our self-chosen roles, corporately. For we choose to act in concert, due to love. That the Son and Spirit choose to subordinate to me is a love choice, and does not imply in any way an inferiority of nature. This disclosure is fully and clearly provided in the original language texts of the Bible I commissioned be written, over that 1500 years. But since so few humans are interested enough to ever study it in my system, many misconceptions about our interrelationship abound throughout the centuries. Each of us can think anything we choose, and it can exist instantly, if we choose, a whole universe, all of time, or even a speck of dust. Exactly. Age, therefore, is what I will it to be. Whether a PLONIUM 30 halo or a ton of granite to encircle it. all aged in an instant or over billions of years, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. 2. So too, your soul. In an instant, I willed it to exist, and you therefore do. In an instant, I can will your soul leave your body, and then it will. I didn't create this ability. Neither did my son. Neither did the Holy Spirit. We just are God, each of us. So this choice to make sons from my son is not a power motive, but rather a love motive, and love loves choice. 3. Love and freedom go together. So do hatred and tyranny. When you are total power, you love freedom, not tyranny. But when you are weak, you love power, not freedom. We love freedom, yours. So I love making sons for my free son, and so I am your father, but the choice to get DDNA made from your DNA is your freedom to choose. Because love loves choice. Freely. 4. So my choice is to make sons from my son, but such sons must choose my choice for it to occur. For love loves freedom, and I will thus never coerce, manipulate, seduce, trick or play any games. Even for the good of the recipient. For only love and truth go together, which is why freedom is always sponsored by love. Absolutely. 5. For the soul thinks. So what the soul thinks is what the person is, Prov 23:7. So the DNA of your own soul is the essential structure of what you think. The structure of what you think is determined by your own attributes, which are determined by your values, which are determined by your beliefs, which are determined by your choices. So too, the DDNA of my soul, for sake of analogy, is the structure of what I think, and of course I always choose to think whatever I think. In fact, all my thoughts are always on. Since I am infinite, no beginning, no ending, no time element, no space element, one big as Ness, now Ness, so to speak. So what I think is exactly what I am and never changes. My divine nature is pure divine thought, bigger than a soul, because infinite, but the analogy is apt. The same is true of my Son and of the Holy Spirit. So you are what you choose to be by my divine decree in eternity past. For I have always known you, and I chose that you be what you choose to be. Because I am God, and I can choose to be whatever I want to be. Hence, I decreed that you should have that same choice as well. However, you cannot choose to be me, since I am uncreated, but you are created. A created person is necessarily finite, but I am infinite. This is an incompatibility problem. What if you want to think as I do? What if you want to live with me? You cannot do so, because your nature is too limited and antithetical to my own. Unless I solve the problem of your finity and the problem of sin. Sin is a problem because it introduces into finity values destructive to it. Romans chapter 8. The actual sins are but evidence of the disease of sin. Romans chapter 7. Your nature had to be limited. Since any kind of created soul is necessarily finite, moreover, that soul ought to have the free will to choose me. I shouldn't impose what solves the problem. If you do not want the problem solved, love would never coerce. My son wanted to be the one through whom this incompatibility problem would be solved without coercion, Romans chapters 5-6. He wanted to do this as a gift to me and as a gift to himself. That is how his soul thinks. My son, who is God just as I am, wanted also to become human and also in that humanity be grown by the Holy Spirit into thinking just as I do. That required him to be made big enough in his soul, and the Holy Spirit fed my son's humanity Bible, as it was then revealed, constantly, which was why he had to remain sinless. My son's humanity thus spiritually grew so compatible with me, that he became the way, the truth, and the life. This compatibility qualified him to pay for all sins of mankind on the cross. But the first purpose of the cross was to fulfill his goal of having total rapport even in his humanity, with me, his infinite Father. It would take a cross to accomplish that goal. So I do not want you to feel guilty that he died as a substitute for your sins, Romans chapter 5 verse 8, Greek. Instead, feel free to celebrate. For DDNA to be replicated, there had to first be real DNA in someone who is made big enough so all that DDNA can be replicated in the human race. My son wanted to be that person. And so, he is. And so, I am your real father, through him. For if you have obeyed, John chapter 3 verse 16 even once, you are spiritually born. A permanent birth, now having my righteousness, 2 Cor 5:21, my life, John chapter 3 verse 16 and 10:28. As well as my sons. So you truly are a son of God in Christ Jesus. In, by means of, in the sphere of, by agency of, en, in Greek means all those prepositional phrases. So I am more your father than your biological origin, as you will come to understand better, if you choose to keep reading. 1. The solution to this problem thus required constructing a series of eternal spiritual mechanisms which would produce a permanent change of structural nature from the way you are at birth, to a nature compatible with the way I am eternally. My son, being both God and man, is both of my nature and of your own. So through him, your own nature can be changed. He paid for all sin, so that the only aspect of the problem remaining to solve is the problem of finity. Specifically, 2. You need to become a spiritual being, for I am infinite spiritual beingness. This is solved by John chapter 3 verse 16, Titus chapter 3 verses 5, 2 Cor 5:17. You need to have eternal life, which is qualitatively infinite, whereas your everlasting soul life is merely everlasting and finite. This is solved by John chapter 3 verse 16, and guaranteed by John chapter 10 verse 28. You need to have my righteousness, so that you will fully enjoy your spiritual eternal life. This is solved on the cross, 2 Cor 5:21. After all, eternal life is not worth having, if you don't utterly enjoy it. Optionally, you need to acquire my son's thinking, since the reason he enjoys his own life utterly, is due to his thinking like I do. I am God, so you can imagine, I hope, that I utterly enjoy myself, due to my thinking. Hence this spiritual learning solution, is a protracted one. You must live in my system for that learning to completely transform your thinking into his, for the rest of your life. Again, godsystem.htm provides a synopsis of my system's 5 essential elements. They are not burdensome, but refreshing, that is, if you want to know me. If you do not want to know me, you will not want to live in my system. You can leave and re-enter my system at any time until you die. If you had obeyed, John chapter 3 verse 16, by at least once believing in my son during your lifetime on earth, you will still live with me forever. Mechanisms number 1 number 3 are permanently deployed that first nanosecond you believed in my son for salvation, John chapter 3 verse 16, and can never be abrogated or rescinded, no matter what you think or do afterwards. John chapter 10 verses 28, 1 Cor 121-31, Eph 1:13, etc. So, with these problems solved, you can be with and even in me, if you choose to have that relationship, forever. You will forever have as much or as little relationship with me as you choose, again, by my divine decree in eternity past. If you only choose mechanisms number 1 to 3, then simply obey, John chapter 3 verse 16. If you wish more, if you wish to know my son, and therefore me, also keep on selecting mechanism number 4. After all, what relationship is enjoyable, if there is no rapport? And how can there be rapport, without like-mindedness? And how can there be like-mindedness, apart from shared thinking? Warning. Only to the extent that you elect mechanism number 4, you will be sharing my thinking, so you will have rapport with my son and I, and the Holy Spirit, and you will end up being close to us. Else. You will not be close, though you will forever live in my son's kingdom. Closeness depends on compatibility, because happiness depends upon freely shared rapport. So, heaven, wouldn't be heavenly, if beings are incompatibly matched. So there is no equality in heaven, because people don't equally choose to be compatible. It isn't fair to anyone to match incompatible people in a society. Nor will you want to be around others who do not think as you do. Again, love never coerces, So a perfect eternal society is hierarchically structured based on freely chosen compatibilities. Which choosing is built while you live down here? Choose wisely. So now let's examine why mechanism number 4, the acquisition of my DDNA via my son's thinking, the Bible, is both optional and yet so utterly vital to our mutual rapport, i.e. why all those inherit the kingdom, versus are dependent on it, whereas your permanent salvation merely depended on mechanisms number 1 to 3. Which all occur instantaneously during first nanosecond you believe per John chapter 3 verse 16. Again, divine DNA is divine thought, and thus it is infinitely replicating, both qualitatively infinite and quantitatively infinite. So this DDNA thought can be replicated in you, to the degree you prefer to have it, versus your own thinking. Your choice. To the degree you prefer to have it, your own soul will become like my son's. The property of thought itself is innately replicating, even among humans, though not infinite, of course. You read these thoughts, and they immediately replicate it in your head, yet remain on the page. Now they are mutating, as you mix the words with your own thinking. That's true life, the replication of thought, since I am pure divine thought. Even as is my Son, and the Holy Spirit. All thought is immaterial, as is true life. Lasting, forever. Thought is the greatest power in the universe, even among the universe of humans. What you think is what you are, Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7. You cannot even be other than what you think. For the real you is your soul, and the only thing a soul does is think. What someone else thinks thus has the greatest potential counterpower to your own, to the extent you choose to think in that same way. So the real DNA of your soul is what you think. And, what you choose to add to your thinking based on whatever other thinking you choose to hear and adopt, common Bible Greek word, hupakoo, pronounced hupakoo, means to stand under hearing, and is, slightly, mistranslated, obey in English Bibles. But the term doesn't mean something you do. It means something you respect, listen to, and thus believe. In the LXX, the Old Testament used by my son when he was down here, hupakoo is often used to translate the Hebrew, shema, pronounced shema, hear and believe. So it has the obedience power because you believe in it. So notice, whatever other thinking you choose to hear and adopt, you choose because you believe in each such choice. Again, you cannot be other than what you think, so you cannot add to your thinking other than what you choose to believe. So notice that at any given moment in time, you are the product of what you believe, and all your thinking will be but spokes of what you believe. Or what you are contemplating believing in at some level. So you are constantly changing based on what you think, how you add or subtract or change what you believe. So your soul DNA is completely decided by you, what you choose to believe, and hence what you choose to think. You make yourself the way you are, no one else can do that to you. So if you are unhappy with the way you are, you chose to be in that condition, and no one else is to blame. So you can choose to change that condition, and no one else can choose it for you. Because, you are what you think. You, not someone else. At the same time, you are powerless. For the content of what you believe determines what you are and what you become. It's power, not yours. It's merit, not yours. For you choose to believe based on what you perceive as the merit in the content. Whether you are correct or not, once you assign a meritorious value to the content of a thought, you will believe in it, and it has power over you. So notice how I am the father of your soul, I can will a thing be and it instantly is. You can will to believe, and what you willed instantly has that value. Difference is, you might be wrong in the value you assign. Difference is, the value you assigned now has power over you. But like me, you can say a thing is, X, and it will be so. In your case, over you. Now notice the irony, so you can begin to appreciate why my son elected to become DNA, and hence receive DDNA from me. You yourself, are your own maker, because you can always choose to believe. But after that, you ceded power to the content of what you believed. Yet you can always change your mind. That is how soul DNA works. That is how my DDNA works as well. Except, since I am God, being infinite, I don't change. But, you can. For I chose that you have the free will to be self-determinative. That does not mean you have the power to make DDNA. Only my power can give it to you. Run it, make it grow in accordance with each discrete consent on your part. But it does mean you have the power to choose that I grant it to you. Because, love loves choice. I guarantee forever that you will always have free will. This interplay between free will and the power of the choices you make over you, eventuates in a permanent choice on your part. In heaven, all beings have free will, and freely never choose to sin. In hell, all beings have free will and never choose to believe in my Son. I do not take their free will away from them, because love never coerces, and I do not ever want anyone in hell. 2 Pet 3-9, Greek, me, pronounced, me, denies even the idea that I would ever want anyone in hell. So choose wisely, and keep questioning your premises, lest you find it difficult to ever want to change your mind. The problem of sin is that a fondness for it increases addictively, and the free will develops a love for sin. Eventually, to the exclusion of all else. Very destructive. Now you know why my Son wanted to go to the cross to pay for sin, so that mankind could obtain true rescue, salvation, in English Bibles, from this hapless, hopeless, essentially viral DNA condition which sin begets. So let's examine various collections of thoughts to illustrate the structure of the souls producing them, and hence to display the power of soul DNA, and hence the potential power of my DDNA. So you can understand its impact better. Also, so that you might decide whether the choices you are making are what you really want to continue making. Also, to show how choices result in soul content which ends up determining the quality of your life, unless you habitually change your mind and adopt new thinking. So let's select some common thought patterns you can see in daily life. If your daily thoughts focus on what you do or eat or wear or own, rarely going beyond earthly preoccupations, such that it becomes boring or difficult to think abstractly. So you avoid it or find any learned conversation something you tend to deride, if you value your life based on how you look or what you own or who you know. If you value your life based on how moral you are compared to others, if you value your good deeds or those of others as being somehow worthy of me, that I should reward them. If you value others based on how nicely they talk to you, or what attention they give you, what kind of person are you? If you are thinking often about how bad someone else is, if you are often critical of people, if you are often disappointed, lonely, bored, what kind of person are you? If you gossip or pay very close attention to what others look like, wear, eat or own, if you are constantly comparing yourself to someone else. If you take pleasure in misfortune which happens to the rich, or the famous, or someone else who bothers you, what kind of person are you? As a person thinks, so he is. As a person thinks, so he talks. The soul must express itself. So, if you often complain to people such that yours is the only voice heard in most conversations, if your opinions are the only ones spoken, because when others disagree or sound smarter than you, you quickly refuse to converse further, change the topic, or become disinterested in or even hostile to what they say, what kind of person are you? If a mother constantly fills her grown children's ears with her aches and pains and gossip about her friends whom her children do not even know, yet shows no interest in the lives of the children, what kind of person is she? If the children continually bleat to their parents about their own affairs, but have no ear for their parents' lives, what kind of children are they? If a wife nags a husband, what kind of person is she? If a husband bullies a wife, what kind of person is he? If a friend repeatedly helps another friend when the latter repeatedly did not want such help, what kind of person is the former? If one person constantly advises another who repeatedly does not want such advice, what kind of person is the adviser? If a person constantly keeps a scorecard of relative pluses and minuses about self versus another, gauging the value of a gift or good deed received versus one given. If a married couple or friends constantly match each other taking great and offended notice if there is a perceived imbalance, what kind of souls are operating. If the annual holiday get-together in my name becomes a shouting match or one-upmanship event, exhausting everyone, what kind of persons were at the event? If the annual church bazaar is full of backbiting and pointing fingers at Sally whose dress is too short, what kind of Christian fellowship is present? If the annual company picnic is spent getting drunk or talking banalities, with everyone looking over their shoulder or brown-nosing the boss, how meaningful are the lives there spent? If a congregation in a religious building of any type, during its official hours of operation for religious meeting, instruction, are there as stones, seemingly dead, or stolid or jumpy or weepy or wacky or sleepy, or engaged in robotic rituals, what kind of souls are thus attending? If people pontificate on government or foreign affairs yet do little homework, thus hating, loving one nation, person or another with no due diligence to back up that conclusion, what real thinking is operating? If believers in God argue with each other or say they do or don't believe a thing, but none among them sufficiently reads the book to properly validate interpretations, what real attitude is operating? If someone famous is merely accused of a crime in the public and everyone takes sides, no one having the facts, what kind of souls are these? What kind of soul longs for 30 days to see a cable show claiming to dramatize the crime of pederasty which allegedly exists among thousands of priests of a religious denomination? And that soul has no real facts, only the accusation, to go on. What kind of soul longs for such a 2-hour program? So if you turn on your local television and flip the channels, what kind of thinking do you see predominant? That will tell you what people are thinking, since television is expensive. Therefore, those crafting a television program must carefully target the intended audience so there will be enough money to fund the intended program. So what kind of people would watch Al Jazeera? What kind, cops? What kind, Survivor? What kind of audience are the major US networks getting, since most of their expensive programs cover murder and scandal? So what kind of soul audience prevails in the television watching world? What pattern of soul DNA do you see largely depicted? And what kind of soul spends hours and hours on political issues, combing the internet, expounding one opinion or another? What kind of soul crusades? What kind of soul obsesses over some public behavior at a Super Bowl or at a banquet where an unofficial remark is spoken, and then agitates the person be punished? What kind of soul demands the promulgation of moral laws over a country which has too diverse a population to even agree on what is moral? Especially since those moral laws cannot be enforced in the nation's constitution, prohibits such laws? Do any of the foregoing petty and judgmental thought patterns sound even remotely like my own? And why not? Yet why are so many of them promulgated in my name? What kind of soul would imagine that my thinking is akin to anything in the above bullets? So why are religions, based on the foregoing bullets' thought patterns, whose soul is being emulated? Certainly not, my sons, John chapter 3 verses 16-18. So what must I do about their thinking? Matt 7-1-2, Gals 6-7, etc., that's my justice policy, to mirror back one's thinking to him, lest he become even more blind to how he is degrading in his soul DNA. But if you think often about what I might be like, or how my son was motivated, if you wonder why I made you, how we can be closer, or even whether all those other gods are the same as me, just because you'd like to better know me, whoever I might be, if you spend time alone so you can think out questions most others don't care to even hear, questions about the meaning of life. If you thus spend much time alone because no one around you can even understand your interests, and you are thus considered quiet but odd, as Jacob and Mary were. If you find you sometimes wish you could know me, rather than religion, if morality among mankind seems hypocritical to you, what kind of person are you? See, you truly are what you think, but you can choose to learn to think differently. And no matter what you are, as your father, I have decreed a solution. To make you like my son. From no matter what you are, right now, so you can scrap all guilt, rancor, or remorse over whatever you think you are now. Just like my servant Paul did, who failed me worse than you ever could. Your choice, like his, Philippians 3:13-14. Paul was the worst sinner in history, as he told Timothy in 1 Tim 1:15. As he explained in Philippians chapter 3, especially v.8, Luke relates his background in Acts chapter 7 verse 58 ff. Paul also rejected my will in sending him to Rome to pastor there, Romans chapter 15 verse 22 ff, and historically explained in Acts 15-22, especially chapter 22, a summary. Greek text in Acts is largely Attic, so is mistranslated, but not so much that you can't see Paul disobeyed my will for several years. So I ordered him shipped to Rome in chains. Then, he stayed put. Then, I ordered he be the primary writer of the New Testament, for his failure is no match for the DDNA I can give to anyone who wants it, and he wanted a lot. Now you can see why mechanism number 4 is important. Why number 1, number 3 get you into the door of eternal relationship, but your soul's thinking is yet incompatible with my own. So now you can see how your soul DNA would need to be spiritually re-engineered into my son's DDNA, his thinking, in order for rapport to flourish between us. This rapport is my goal, and in fact, the design of your very soul requires DDNA for your happiness. So everyone in heaven has at least some basic level of DDNA post-death, no matter how little they learned of my son, while down here. But there is much more. Perfection is a scope and a capacity question, not merely a no-flaws status. A 1-liter bottle can be perfect, so can a 12-liter bottle. Which would you rather be? Small and perfect, or large and perfect? The larger you are in your soul, the more rapport you will have with us. However, we will never coerce you to grow. For I love you, and thus absolutely desire your own happiness, but I will not coerce. Hence there is no limit on the amount of DDNA you can acquire, since my son completed his end of the contract, Isa 53:10-12, again. Again, I'm your real and ultimate father, so I want unlimited rapport. My attribute of infinity means my desire for intimacy is unlimited. The same is true of the Son and the Spirit. Unlimited means just that. My Son's humanity paid for all sins on the cross so that there would be no obstacle, no limitation. It does not matter what sin you ever sin, because He paid for it already. People arrogantly imagine that there ought to be limitations, because they are offended by one sin or another, as if their ideas were valid, as if what they think punishment should be, were valid. Hence in their criticism and judgmentalism they arrogate to themselves the role of divine judge. As a result, they reap the very penalties they adjudge, Matt 7-1-2, Gal 6-7, Rom 2-1, 14, 3-4, 10, 13, Jas 4-11, 5-9. I am not petty, like people. The problem is incompatibility, and sin only compounds the incompatibility problem. Whether the sin of physical murder, or the more common problem of spiritual murder, i.e., self-righteousness. My word is murdered in mistranslation, which is a far worse crime than genocide, since people use the translations to choose what to believe. For I want unlimited rapport. So if an axe murderer takes me up on my offer to make DDNA and lives in my system, he is far more holy than the most moral person on earth who does not live in my system. Sin makes a person's desires rebel against my own. So any kind of sin reduces both compatibility potential and the likelihood that the person will want to live in my system. Self-righteousness, fornication, adultery, sexual sin, murder all produce such strong against me urges that such individuals but rarely want to learn my son. Paul explained this problem in detail in the books of Romans and Galatians. So don't imagine that the sinner isn't punished. I know how to punish a soul, and I punish to heal the soul. Think of it like soul surgery. The soul who gets the word undergoes pleasant and lifelong surgery, but the soul who refuses the word undergoes painful surgery. You cannot see the soul, so you cannot know what surgery occurs. Mechanism number 1, number 4, and especially number 4, enact and accomplish my desire for unlimited rapport. That desire is fulfilled on the cross, It is now just a question of apportioning how that total deposited DDNA rapport in my son's humanity will be distributed, that is, freely replicated with free will consenting in the ones who believed in my son. For the ESA 53-1012 contract with my son to make sons, now makes the sons of church. Church is a special designation for those who believed in my son between Pentecost, 30 AD and what you call the rapture, a collection date for church. Which date only I determine and I will not predict it. However, in the past and in the future, this same contract for making sons operates. Each period of making sons varied in terms of the scope and capacity of what those sons could receive. For church, the scope and capacity are unlimited, because my son completed the cross and is awarded a body of thinking to administer eternity future. So, the building of that body is proceeding apace. All the human race is under this ESA 53-1012 contract. So from the beginning, which was not a beginning, before there was creation and via that Isaiah chapter 53 verses 10-12 contract of eternity past, I'm the one who decreed you exist. It was my personal decision whether you would exist. So I am more your father than any other father you will ever have. Hence my son's witty remark about calling no one else father, Matt 23-9, referring back to ESA 9-6, 63-16. I repeat this contractual fact in hundreds of ways in my word, so that everyone can know I made your soul at birth, personally, and by choice, even though I have always known everything about you. I still chose you to exist. I was not forced, so you do not need to feel inferior or bad, or even grateful. I don't need you to worry how you will curry my favor. It was my sovereign choice. So you can celebrate with me, and need never be ashamed. The longest passage on this topic? Psalm chapter 139 verses 11-17, which tells you the story of your life and why I chose you. My servant David celebrated this fact in Psalm chapter 139 verse 13, but Psalm chapter 139 translations reverse and obfuscate what I gave him to write. Bible translations of P's 139 are adulterated to claim a soul is in the womb. Which lie contradicts what I had David and all the Bible writers write. Moreover, such adulteration makes me out to be a sadist. Think about teething pain, then multiply it a bazillion times. To get a sense of what pain a soul would feel if in a womb of growing body parts. The real Bible words of Psalm chapter 139 say the opposite, that the soul is made after the body is completed and outside the womb, with the first exhale. Which of course is consistent with Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 and version 17, and the fact astounds David so much, he composed a psalm about it in P's 139, 11-17. Those verses are a backdrop of courage for David in a time of trouble. With God decreeing his existence, what does he have to fear, when in trouble, verses 10-11, context. So the real Bible words of that psalm are partly exegeted for reader tracing ease in nowomblife.htm. Search on Kana once you load the page. So I know all about you, since forever past and future, because what you consider time is all one big now to me. As evidenced by the Hebrew and Greek tenses, or lack thereof, used to describe my nature, in the Bible I had the Holy Spirit communicate. That Bible, not any translation. Once you learn that Bible, you can conclusively prove everything about me. So you can know all about me, too. For, I ordered it be that way. Just as, I ordered you exist, with your very own free will. Because, I am free will, and so I decreed that anyone who is to exist, must have his own free will, as well, forever. You will live forever, by my decree. So see? I really am your father. Forever. Your body is just a bundle of biology, to give your soul a house. Just as David explained, in the real Bible, not any translation, Psalm chapter 139 verse 13b, Hebrew. Search on, Sakik in numberwomblife.htm, and read through item number 12. I am God, so I can order whatever I like. And I liked, ordering your existence. Since forever past and future, I will never repent of that decision, no matter how you use your free will which I irrevocably gave you. It's not like I don't already know all your choices, since forever past and future. You will live forever, by my decree. I will never repent of that decision, either. I don't need to repent. So you don't need to feel bad about the fact that I'm God and you're not. I am your father of fathers, who wanted you to exist, and always will want you to exist. Because I love you. Hence I call myself Father in the Bible to communicate that love. I will never repent of it, either. Never. What I know about you did not influence my attitude of love. My love is absolute, as is my nature. So I didn't choose your existence based on what you might consider your merits or demerits. Ever since the Reformation, there has been this daft idea that I turned a blind eye to what I knew in the election portion of my decree in the name of protecting my sovereignty. What a silly blasphemy! Sovereignty never functions apart from omniscience nor apart from all other attributes, so never needs protection of any kind. Humans need to make their choices based on merits or demerits among themselves, but God never does. For you can never influence, affect, reduce, or in any way change my love. The only thing you can change is your own attitude, and even that the Holy Spirit must make effective, for you were not designed to live solely on your own nature. Matt 4:4. For you were instead designed to grow up from what you are, to get DNA through my Son, since that is the very contract I made in eternity past with him. Again, Isa 53:10-12. By contract, you are given to become one of my sons of glory, as I ordered written in Hebrews chapter 2 and elsewhere. Which requires you live on divine word, which is my power. Infinitely replicating. Just as my Son did. Repeat, you were not designed to be inferior forever, but to be an adult son, huios in Greek, usu. Mistranslated merely, son. Hebrews chapter 2, Galatians chapter 3 and many other passages in the Word I ordered written, explain this fact in detail. Think of this process as a kind of mammoth pregnancy the way Paul explains it, in Romans chapter 8, in the Greek, not translations. That analogy helps you to see Isa 54:1, how this sterile, dead life, down here is but preparation for your real life, since the real you, is your soul. Not your body, not your status or other peripheral characteristics vis-a-vis humanity, down here. So, relax, you don't have to play religious games with me, I don't need them, and neither do you. So, don't bother playing them, ever. I know the real you, so you can learn the real me, Psalm chapter 139 verse 17. That verse tells you why you are here, to learn my Son's thoughts. Your choice, whether and how much you want the Holy Spirit to make that purpose live in your own soul. Clearly, since I chose you exist, I want you to be happy, Isa 55:1-3. Abram knew that, he wanted just one son. Oh, but I wanted a universe of sons. My Son even informed him, Gen 15:13, that these not yet born sons would suffer 400 years of slavery. Isaac and Jacob knew that, too. Yet Abram didn't reject the offer, yet Isaac passed it on to Jacob, who led his family into the land, though he knew they would be vilely tortured and enslaved as architects and builders. Hint hint. Which enslavement began under Amenemhet III, shortly before Joseph died, and lasted until Amenhotep II, the Pharaoh of the Exodus. See exodate.htm for details, and also mirroring.htm sections on Abram Moses. So why did they accept such a horrible fate, generation after generation? Well, Abram did because he was that happy to know my Son. For if you know my Son, you know me, John chapter 14. Knowing my Son makes me happy. So guess what will make you happy? If I love you and if knowing my Son makes me happy, would my love want less for you? Mi genoito, perish the thought. And Abram didn't get as much knowledge of him as you can get. John chapter 7 verse 39, EPH 1. For you are part of church, a maritally intimate relationship, since he has unlimited rapport with me, and he prayed for that same intimacy to be granted to you, in John chapter 17. Of course, I knew all this back in eternity past, as did my Son, as God. So I decreed your existence, and I decreed your existence be in an especially intimate spiritual rapport with us, 2 Cor 13:14. But that is my choice. Your choice, whether you agree to that development or do not. If you do not, then the apportionment which was allotted on your behalf will forfeit to someone else who accepts it, since all the DDNA funds are on deposit since eternity past. As Ephesians chapter 1 explains, you thus share indirectly in my Son, i.e., your enjoyment of him will be distanced through intermediaries. To the extent you refuse mechanism number 4, but the more you engage in mechanism number 4, the more you will share directly in my Son. You will be the intermediary through whom others share your portion. If you finish the course, endure to completion, mistranslated, and you inherit a kingdom, since he is King of Kings, and the kings are being developed in this church age of history. Church and age are Bible terms mostly used by Paul. Often age is mistranslated. A covenant always belongs to an age for the people who believe in my Son during that age. Your choice. Esau 53:12 governs the terms, and Esau 53:11 explains the mechanics of mechanism number 4, in the LXX, the five infinitives. The terms require living in my system, which means habitually using 1 John 1:9 when you sin so that you are filled with the Spirit's power, of perception, of proper motive, etc. All based on what learning you receive under the pastor he personally appoints for you. Truth is precise. My system is precise. The command to live in my system is not burdensome nor religious, but rather personal royal training by your mom, the mentor, the Holy Spirit. Book of Hebrews explains the church covenant in terms of the change to king priesthood, and Paul explains the building process in Ephesians. Just as Israel was enslaved for 400 years, and in a way, ever since, for the sake of building my Son's kingdom, so also is church. Any Jew who believes in my Son between Pentecost 30 AD and the unpredictable due to believer votes rapture is part of church, even as any Gentile in the OT trib or millennium becomes a Jew by believing in him. So the whole human race is included in the contract, but only a few among them are willing to believe in my Son, preferring instead their own thinking to his. This church will be the conveyance vehicle for my Son's thinking for all believers of all epochs, for the angels. Thus, covenantal limitations for others which pertained both prior and after my Son completed his contract with me, will not be denied full sharing. So his John chapter 17 prayer is answered fully. No one is denied full sharing due to a covenantal limitation. The only restrictions on sharing come from volition, not choosing to reside in my system, as it was revealed during that person's time, aka age. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 34. When you war with God, God wars back with you to warn you of the dire consequences of such warring. Warring scars the soul, as you saw above in the bullets illustrating typical human thinking. Scarred souls lose capacity for enjoyment, and sin addicts them the more to war, for the root of sin is religiosity, a type of warring with God. My infinity being rejected, shatters the soul. Secular reflects spiritual, and the spiritual physics are that you can't be a negative derivative against holy God. And not shatter your soul the first time you reject him. Further rejections make the situation far worse, so good deeds only scar the soul further. It's a truth. Truth is uncreated, my attribute. There is no such thing as deserving, therefore. Hence all religiosity, which is based on deservingness, see Gen 3 arguments, is rejection of truth. So my Son is for the healing of the soul, but love will never coerce. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 34 in LXX and Jas 4-6, 1 Pet 5-5, referencing EPH 4:11-16's process, and Philly 2:5-10, when you submit to learning my Son, then you receive grace. Grace of growing up to my Son's DDNA level, EPH 4:13. Grace of thinking like him, Philly 2:5. Grace of rapport with us, 2 Cor 13:14. It's that stark, that simple a contract, and all sourced in our Trinity corporate contract to make sons, Esau 53:10-12. Therefore, contrary to popular opinion, I obviously do not like the fact you're not God. Groveling does nothing for me, your inferiority doesn't buttress my ego. Quite the other way around. I prefer equals, not inferiors. Equals, so no groveling is ever pleasing to me, Heb 11-6. So no religion is ever pleasing to me, Isa 44, 64-6, Zech 7, Malachi chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, Gen 3-5. What is utterly pleasing to me, is to make you, sons of God in Christ Jesus, Gal 3:26. That will make you utterly happy, too. For contrary to popular opinion, yet obvious in the garden, I never ordered Adam to be made unhappy or groveling. Look how he argues with my son, even after he sinned, in Gen 3. Notice how I didn't order him to be zapped into hell for that. Notice how Adam made his own unhappiness with his own free will. So the problem of me being God and you not being God, is lack of equality. Then, compounded by the natural consequences of sin, lack of compatibility, all of which, I can order be utterly fixed. Instantly. But I instead chose to solve our mutual incompatibility, in accordance with your own free will. For, I can do anything I want to do, and I can indeed make you a son of God. But I don't like to force anything on anyone. Since I'm infinite, I'm not created. But you are created. So I have no intention that you remain not God, but I also have no intention of imposing on you, either. For, I love you. Absolutely, as is my infinite nature. Love doesn't coerce, manipulate, cajole, seduce. Hatred does those things, because by nature hatred destroys and dominates in order to buttress itself, but there is no hatred in me. For I'm infinite, and hence uncreated. For choice depends on belief, and belief is an expression of love, 1 Cor 13-7. I am love, it's my heart, and all of my other unmade characteristics are expressions of love. Belief never exists absent reason. Since I am God, I accurately know everything, so my love always has accurate reason to continue. But, since you are not God, you don't know everything. So learning love means first believing, which requires learning reason. Which requires you choose to learn. Which choosing, my love will never coerce. So you are created, and you have the option of going my way, or, any way you choose. Notice how I choose to treat you like an equal, not like an inferior. Love is like that, my son is like that. He is God and a uniquely created human, who because he loves me, chose to become such a human. So obviously, he doesn't consider inferiority degrading. Neither should you. Neither do I, contrary to popular opinion, I don't believe in degrading, inferiority, and all other manner of hate me thinking the world promotes as holy. It's not my thinking, not my belief, so is definitely not holy. So is definitely not my choice, no matter how loudly or how often the religious claim otherwise. They never speak for me, my son, or the Holy Spirit. They speak for Satan, who chooses to go his way, who believes in his way. Not, my way. Satan used to be the chief among the angels, with the honorary position of guardian of my son's throne room, but, he rebelled. He didn't like my DDNA decree, since it replaces the creature's thinking with the creator's thinking. Infinity and finity cannot have a rapport absent this replacement cycling. The shortfall would be too painful for finity. So any alternative would require finity have no free will or a manipulated free will. This I will never do. Not good to not be God. Not good to not have rapport with God. So, you must become gods, as Asaph wrote in Ps 82-6, which my son quoted and explained to a hostile audience, in John chapter 10 verse 34. That is DDNA. As a result of Satan's rebellion, a formal divorce trial is ongoing. For this ostensible purpose, humanity was created. That is the larger historical backdrop for your life down here, and why church has a battlefield royalty role. The same contract for DDNA in Isa 53-10-12 also resolves this trial. As you learn in my system, you will learn the impact of this trial on history. But the more important issue for you is learning my son's thinking, receiving that DDNA conversion. which process simultaneously demonstrates to Satan and Co. why my choice to make sons is valid. They do not want you to receive DDNA, and you will be attacked. So that is another reason why you should only regard me as your father, my son as your lord, and the Holy Spirit as your mother. You are not inferior, you are royal family in him. 1 Pet 2-5, 9. In training to become a king, should you finish growing up in DDNA, Rev 1-6, 5-10, and, sarcastically, 1 Cor 4-8. Though I do not think of you nor treat you as an inferior, because you have my righteousness, so you are not inferior, I must give you commandments and such. Else you'd not know what is real and true good. So I ordered a book of my son's thinking be written, which was promised since Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, starting with what Moses wrote, until Moses. Not enough people wanted me to warrant my commissioning the book. For children need commandments, and ever since the Eden couple ate Satan's fruit, I must give my word in words even children can eventually grasp. Do this, don't do that. Paint by numbers. Mankind always has need of simple instruction, but my goal is to progress him to my level, but only to the extent he can sense. Meanwhile, commandments and dues constitute your fallen brain's language, a rebellion, hatred language, wired therefore to grasp dues and works and religiosity. But that language is never mine. My ways are not your ways, nor my thoughts your thoughts, i.e., Isa 55-8-9. So my way is not rebellion, hatred. So my way is not coercion. Even when I command something. After all, what is the first commandment? Love. Hint hint. Of course, Satan chooses to translate my word in his language so you will choose his way, and the world chooses his way, so humans flagellate each other in the name of love. I'm not in any of that. The world uses love like a weapon, meaning hatred is thus expressed. Your biggest hint? If love is demanded, then hatred is expressed in the very demand. So the world hates me and my son by demanding I love it. Which I already proved I do, John chapter 3 verse 16, Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Which almost no one bothers to read, or, if reading, everyone who reads those verses then turns around and uses them to bludgeon or preen. So my name, and especially my son's name, is slapped onto their grotesque, gargoyle caricature of love, with everyone preening over how altruistic he is. Which I am demanded to reward, of course. Which then I must reward with punishment, since children need punishment when they abuse the first commandment. Else, they can never learn anything, Heb 12-6-11. The worst punishment is nothing. For if a child is yet unteachable by punishment, I must do nothing. If a child is outside my jurisdiction because he has not believed in my son, then I must do nothing until the time comes to deliver death or calamity. For cancerous thinking demands drastic surgery, for the sake of the body yet remaining which would be too severely infected. Meanwhile, my word goes unread, so almost no one ever learns what love is. So much unread, Israel kept on losing the word inside the temple, over and over again. But of course, who reads the word to see that warning pattern? Who teaches its importance? So, that history keeps on repeating itself, but in more dire fashion, as the centuries unfold. So, post-cross, hardly anyone has even wanted to read a translation, for nearly 18 centuries. So of course over that time the God-breathed original language texts I had ordered written during the entire 1500-year period via selected individuals were largely destroyed. As in the Old Testament, I allowed this travesty, since if man doesn't want me, I won't coerce him. Man wants his ego stroked by ritual, religion, human approbation. So my word was hidden for centuries in ever smaller quantities. But the meanwhile, I nonetheless ordered preserved what I had ordered written in the original language texts. My son enacted that preservation, he handles all the physicals, and a few believers in each generation did want to learn me, so I ordered that they get what they wanted. So, they did. For, love is like that. So too, today, you can instead choose to grow up in my way, and in my languages, at which point you can better understand my meaning in my word. God's system is what enables you to grow up and really see the real me, as you choose to use it. My system, not the world's. Your choice, my power, EPH 1. See, God's system, link at page top for details. It's a fairly short summary presentation. In every generation, however, there was at least one believer who wanted to learn my son's thinking enough to justify continuing that generation, i.e., the roster in Gen 5, every 490 years. There was at least one believer who wanted to learn my son's thinking enough to justify another grant of 490 years to the world, IBID and the OT accounting system provided to show who they were. Hence every 1,000 years, there was at least one believer who wanted to learn my son's thinking enough to justify another grant of 1,000 years, the ones granted the personal covenants, Noah, Abraham, David, my son. And of course my son justifies the continuation of time until forever, through the church he ordained upon himself as the Petra, in order to rescue time due to Jewish rejection of him as groom. Petra in the Greek LXXOT, which my son is quoting there, was the bedrock pedestal of the Holy of Holies, where Isaac was almost sacrificed, and where the Dome of the Rock sits now, Matt 16:18. I myself had ordained this continuation through church, and I ratified it in response to his John chapter 17 prayer, but as I had Paul explain in Ephesians chapter 1, this was the design for time all along. To culminate in my son and in a body of thinking reflecting my son, Sea of Glass, in Rev 4, filling all in all, EPH 123. So I used church to redeem, rescue, but with emphasis on by, time itself, Call 4-5, EPH 516, KJV, are two verses you can read even in translation. Many more references are in the Real Bible I commissioned, because it's a synonym among official terms of redemption. Dan 2-8, colloquial usage, Gal 3:13. 4-5, mirroring.htm lays out God's accounting system for time, showing how time ended with Messiah and therefore can only continue with church. How church is used to redeem Israel's remaining 7 years, how the remaining 1,000 years is vested in Messiah alone. All of which you yourself can prove over some months with the original language texts of Bible, and even most translations, a calculator, and a detailed historical encyclopedia or series like Cambridge Ancient History. In sum, you will find all of this information in the Bible I commissioned be written and preserved in my languages, but few have done so. It remains, however, because at least one believer will continue to want it, for so long as time is allowed to be granted in its current configuration. For the covenant changes, here, finalizes, when no one wants it anymore. The next such ending will be what you call, the rapture, exanastasis and harpas in Philly 3:11 and 1 Thess 4:17, respectively, at which point, the covenant to Messiah for the 1,000 years will be implemented, preceded by the short warning you call, the tribulation, thlipsis and many other terms in the Bible I ordered written. I won't predict it, though I know when it will be. I won't predict it, because love never coerces, and the date on which I call up the royal family for my son, I sovereignly choose to be based on believer votes for learning my son. So vote to learn him. You do not know how others are voting, so the rapture can happen in the next 5 minutes, or 1,000 years from now, for all you know. LVS4A.htm explains the precedents and other legal bases for the rapture, and is very long. LVS4B.htm goes through the balance in numbers criteria. LVS4C.htm explains the satanic strategies versus God's. LVS4D.htm covers the trial testimony of the successful believer versus the believer who refuses the system. Meanwhile, the world goes on in its way, which is Satan's way. It goes on preening over its moralities, with the bulleted thought patterns shown earlier. Meanwhile, those few who want to learn my son will be used to justify buying time for the continued existence of the world despite its ways, Satan's ways. Because those few are being developed as kings, and they will be apportioned kingly inheritances, per the contract clause in Isa 53:12, as my son explained in John chapter 14. My house is a royal house, not a mere building. The royal bloodline is my son's thinking. Physical blood cannot think, did not pay for sins. I am pure thought. So my house is a thinking, my way. So the harvest of his thinking is proceeding my way, even while the world goes Satan's way. Hence the need for mechanism number 4, so that you can get my love and therefore be truly happy as you transform into my son's thinking during this apprenticeship period you call life. 4. The first commandment is impossible for you to do. Again, you were not designed to live solely on your own power, but instead, on mine. So it takes my power, which is executed by the Holy Spirit using his own power, to enable you to learn love, Romans chapter 5 verses 5, 1 Cor 1-5, 10, chapter 2, 12, 13, Greek, not translation. For what good is love, if a performance? If I wanted you to obey the first commandment as a performance, that's as a married couple having sex based on performance. Do this, do that. Make this move, get it over with. What couple enjoys robotic movements which result in self being terribly insecure? So what God would want ritualistic, robotic religion? No real God. And I am the real God. So is my Son. So is the Holy Spirit. We will never empower performance, but only will empower love. That is the difference between Satan's way and mine. Satan is all about performance, so ego can preen. I have neither ego nor emotion, since I am absolute existence, ha ya. Only finity needs ego, body, and hence emotion in the body, not the soul, to aid soul appreciation. All these were designed to function on my power, for maximum rapport with me. So they are all dysfunctional apart from me, John chapter 15. For, I am uncreated, even as, my Son and the Holy Spirit are uncreated. So I am God, your real and ultimate loving Father who wants to clone my Son's thinking in you per your every discreet consent, to make you like my Son. As a result, you will love. Love me, first commandment, love my Son, first commandment and second, love the Holy Spirit, 2 Cor 13:14, thus being realized. This choice of mine to choose your choice is not conditioned upon any characteristic, good or bad, in you. For your good isn't good enough, and your bad isn't bad enough. For you are hopelessly weltering in your blood, E16-6. Which justifies my cloning my Son's thinking in you per each such consent you make to live in my system. But love never coerces, so you must consent for anything to be done, else I will order a juridical separation. So if you want separation down here, but not in eternity, vote John chapter 3 verse 16, believe in my Son's payment on the cross. Which earlier were portrayed above as mechanisms number 1 number 3. So if you also want to become cloned, close to us both down here and in eternity, unlike those who will choose only mechanisms number 1 number 3. Which John chapter 3 verse 16 accomplishes, then choose mechanism number 4. A.K.A. 2 Pet 3:18, EPH 3:15-19, EPH 4:11-16, all via 1 JN 1-9. When you sin, that's my system for cloning his thinking in you. You will be as close or as far away as you decree by my decree. Just as Moses did in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, first providing an overview and then retelling the story with specified emphases. Let's next go over key portions of the above explanation again. Let's also change the style of discourse and advance its focus, adding more information as well. Thus you can A. practice remembering and using what you've just learned, and B. learn more. That repetition with advancement is the living style of the spiritual life, and hence the writing style in the word I commissioned be written, so that is the writing style here. To recap and refine what I've just said, here in more detail is my eternal offer to you, courtesy of my Son. My Son's offer, my power, my work, your choice. Forever. Here, I gave you the way to choose me, the mechanics are simple. For I gave you all my Son, who is also God just like me. So you become a son of God if you but once in your life, believe in him, John chapter 3 verse 16. Why? To fulfill the contract I made with my Son, as God, in eternity past, 1 Tim 2-5 and Isa 53-10-12, both inspired texts. So your being saved is due to my contract with him, so nothing you later do or think can affect it. John chapter 17 is his acceptance, just prior to the cross. So all you need, do, is believe but once in your lifetime, and then his acceptance covers you forever, Heb 10-5-14. So once you have believed in him, DNA can be applied to you, which is what actually happened on the cross to pay me. Think of it as an escrow or pension fund reserved on your behalf. And as of the moment you first believed in my son for salvation, you became a permanent beneficiary. An adult son, technically, completely changed in nature because via my son, you have my own DNA structure, 2 Cor 5:17, 21, John chapter 3 verses 16, 10, 28, Titus chapter 3 verse 5, etc. So now you are as good as God. And of the necessary compatible structure to live with God forever. For God is spirit, John chapter 4 verse 24. My attributes are my structure, and my thought is the livingness of my being. Hence because you immediately receive my own divine righteousness imputed, 2 Cor 5:21, and my own eternal life imputed, John chapter 3 verse 16. You are forever among the sons of God in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, Ephesians chapters 1-2, Hebrews chapters 1-2, 7-10. See, I don't like lesser thans, and I would never elect lesser thans for my son to rule forever. Hence Gen 15-6 is the same as 2 Cor 5:21, which many other Old Testament verses explain in other ways, like being in the book of life, righteous man, etc. So the remaining question is how much of my DNA thought you will choose to additionally receive, to fill up, as it were, the divine structure I decreed you receive at salvation, Romans chapter 8 verse 4. Romans chapter 12 verses 1-3, Greek, not translations. It's that filling up of thought which will determine how close you will be to my son, forever. The less compatible, the farther away, though still saved forever. The more compatible, the closer forever. For compatibilities must be matched, for eternity to be a perfectly happy state among forever free-willed persons. You never lose your free will. The amount of compatibility, I create but by sovereign choice, I will never create what is beyond the corridor of your consent. Which consent, you give every moment you reside or refuse to reside in my system. And every moment you reside, more DNA is being added to your soul to raise the rank of your DNA, so you can be closer, more compatible with my son, i.e. Men W in wordplay with Manai in John chapter 14 verse 2. Men W in John chapter 15, 1 John, 1 Jan 1-9 being used, and EPH 5:18 plus EPH 3:15 minus 19 plus EPH 4:11 minus 16 operating. Circumstances will alternate in intensity, to give your burgeoning DNA the needed exercise, so if you are in my system and things seem bad, remember what my servant James explained. In James chapter 1 verses 1-12, Romans chapter 8 verses 11-32, and especially, Heb 11-1, 12, 1-2, Greek, not translations, which is the entire reason why you are tested. To show how my son's thinking, DNA, overcomes all challenges in life. Every moment you refuse, i.e., 1 Jan 1-8, 10 characterizing your condition, so EPH 5:18 is not operating, but rather EPH 4:30, 1 Thess 5:19, latter is prolonged, no DNA is being added. And what DNA you have is being eroded, since you are effectively rejecting all of it so long as you are in a state of sin. Notice carefully how the hypothetical person in 1 Jan 1-8, 10 is moral, self-righteous, claiming to not sin or not have sin. Sin is not merely the gross kind society condemns, the worst sin is self-righteousness, Satan's sin. 1 John focuses mostly on the self-righteous category of sins, since that was the problem faced by believers post-Paul's execution, when religiosity skyrocketed in Rome. Hence the Rev 17 warning about religiosity, too. That's why I must punish you, to best preserve your DDNA erosion from destroying your essential, saved, structure. Because, you never lose your free will. Just because I am God and can do anything, doesn't mean I will ever gerrymander truth. And the truth is, being in a state of sin reduces your free will options, because sin degrades the soul. Think of being in a state of sin, like cancer or AIDS, for those diseases analogously depict what sin does to the soul, if unchecked over a prolonged period. That's why hell exists, also, to keep free will open, among those who never once believed in my son. Examine the insanely eroded thinking pattern of the poor rich man in Hades' torments, Luke chapter 16 verse 20 FF. So use 1 John 1:9 often, and get back in my system, lest you must do what Paul did, and regroup after a prolonged period of divine discipline, Philippians 3:13 plus Hebrews 12:6-11. You won't like your time out, since I wouldn't like it, either. I am the truth. I know the effects. Trust me on this. So, if you keep on refusing, you will go through a period of ever-increasing divine discipline, roughly analogous to the personal judgment clauses in Leviticus chapter 26 and Deut 28. If you keep on refusing, you will eventually suffer capital punishment, 1 John 5:16. Meanwhile, you will very much not like your time out. If you are being punished but do not know you are hurting, and you are in a state of 1 John 1:8-10, it means no amount of punishment is currently profitable to you. Do not wish to be in that state, and do not mistake it for being spiritual. Think instead of it being like hospice, where no treatment can fix your disease, except immediate use of 1 John 1:9 and immediate residence in my system. Calm before the storm. But again, no matter how severely you refuse, even if you were another Judas, who had once believed in my son for salvation, you cannot lose your salvation. For it is not conditioned on your own merit, but solely my son's, as per the contract of Isaiah 53:11, especially the LXX text. For I am pure infinite thought and personality, immaterial and infinite. So my DNA, my divine DNA, aka DDNA, is pure divine thought. Which thought is always true, loving, hence, righteous, faithful, real, accurate, omniscient, omnipotent, etc. None of my characteristics are ever divorced from each other, so my sovereignty is always characterized by all of my other attributes, and therefore is always totally free. For, I am uncreated, hence unsustained by any external force. For I didn't make myself infinitely perfect. I just am. So it's impossible for anyone to make himself good enough for me. It's also impossible for anyone to affect me, so if I choose to condition my choice on another's choice, which being love, I always do, that is not a surrender of my sovereignty or freedom, but rather an exercise of my infinite freedom. So I lifted the stone which was too heavy to lift, Hebrew, Daka, in Isaiah 53:5-10 parallelism. I made a DDNA contract with my son, who is also God. And through that, I make you a son of God from that first nanosecond you first obey, John chapter 3 verse 16. Just as my son told you all, when he was down here in his humanity. Subject to your consent. Which will not hurt me in any way if you refuse. Which will hurt you plenty, if you refuse, since to refuse me cannot be anything but sin, to do. Now you know why I so assiduously warn mankind via the book One Ordered Written, about, believe or burn. That's just the truth, the same for me, my son, the Holy Spirit, as for you. Difference is, we are each infinite, so there will never be a moment, when we will want to sin. But you have, so you need to be rescued. Salvation in Greek is sozo and should be first translated rescue. Of course, that's my son's human name in Hebrew, Yeshua, salvation, deliverance, rescue, which is why you must believe in his name, person, to be saved. Hence, John chapter 3 verse 16. After that, you still need to be rescued from all that bad wiring you inherited from Adam's fall. Rom 5:12 and 1 Cor 15:22. DDNA being successively deposited in you while you reside in my system will accomplish the rest of your rescue, ROM 5-5, 8-4. As much or as little added rescue as you choose. Eternal consequences likewise obtain if you refuse, but you cannot lose your salvation. Instead, the eternal consequences concern whether you will be a spiritual baby forever, relatively speaking, or mature king under my son, the King of Kings, Pleroma in Greek. The more DDNA you have built in you via the spirit in my system, the more spiritually mature you will become. It can take decades or even a few years to grow that far, depending on your level of interest, and how you respond or react to what you are learning. Your choice, as always. Again, thought of any kind is clonable in a hearing recipient. Divine thought is infinitely clonable. You read the words here, and they replicate in your head, yet remain on the page. So my son's thinking was built via thought being taught. My thought, DDNA. Which is why he was able to stay sinless even while I made him sin, 2 Cor 5:21. Because, I would never sin, given what I know. So he would never sin, given what he was given to know, even when unfairly imputed and judged with all mankind's sins. Because, he wanted to make a gift of DDNA to me out of all that horrific imputation and judgment, which gift of course I forever see, as he does, as the Spirit does, since we each are also God. So you will change, if you learn what he learned. So you cannot ever combat sin, if you do not learn. You will only hallucinate you are successful against sin, like the straw man in 1 John 1-8, 10, and Passim, throughout the rest of John's letter, since that is one of its major sub-themes. For even my son could not have successfully defeated sin, except through what he learned in my system, Heb 12-2, Heb 5-8-9. Hence the eternity past contract to make sons from my son. Which I had my servant Isaiah, wittily announce in Isa 53-10-12. My son chose to also become humanity, ergo the WH in YHWH, so I put my DNA into his human soul, via the third God, the Holy Spirit, John chapter 1 verse 14, so that my son in his human soul also thinks just like I do. He got that way by living under the Spirit, learning and thinking Word 24/7. For the Word is the seed, and the seed is my DDNA. So he kept on exchanging whatever else he could have been thinking, wanting, doing, for my Word, Matt 4-4. So, the Holy Spirit kept on making that exchange. For, he is God. And as God, he could do anything. But he will never coerce. So when thoughts strike you, when you have any need or issue to address, you can instantly exchange your normal thought or reaction for more DDNA by instead living on the Word, his thinking. Just as he did, under the Holy Spirit's power. For the Spirit said, light be, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. So he wants light to be in you, Isa 53-11, LXX. But he will never coerce. So, playing the role of mom, as in Gen 1-2, Rahif, brooding hen, he wills to make your own, tohu wa bohu, into son's word light. He wills to make DDNA every time you want an exchange to occur, if you are in God's system at that moment. Every moment, and he will never repent his decision, ROM 5-5. So you do not need to settle for an inferior life down here, either. You can exchange it all for DDNA, no matter what you seem to be in the eyes of the world. No matter what your circumstances. Again, I don't like lesser thans, and if I was willing to make my son sin so he could be filled up with all DDNA, an election he made, then I am willing to fill you up with DDNA as well. No matter what your life seems to be, making, you. Big hint. Now you know why Abram and Moses didn't elect to have some flashy life, but instead essentially wandered about, as if mere itinerants, why? My son didn't elect Satan's flashy offer of all the kingdoms of the world. Why, all those witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11 were willing to suffer though they did not receive the promise. As the writer of Hebrews explains, they already considered themselves to have something better, can you guess who? They weren't crazy, you know. They weren't masochists, you know. And you should know that I would never make my son sin, if it wouldn't benefit him the most. Rulership isn't a big benefit compared to DDNA compatibility. He was already ruler of everything in his own right, you know. Rulership is a burden you grow to love solely due to enough DDNA. Else, it's intolerable. For no one in his right mind would enjoy ruling lesser thans due to the incompatibility. Ergo, you must be learning and living on word in my system. Accept no substitutes, as often and as much as possible. Like my son did. Whether you are in the bathroom or the ballroom. Whether you are an axe murderer or acting chief of staff. Whether you are in sickbed or in a gilded house. Human limitations do not limit me, and they did not limit his payment on the cross. Humans vaunt themselves over each other, but nothing human counts with me. Isa 64-6, Romans chapter 4 verses 1-5. Nothing, that is, except my son's thinking in his humanity. Isa 53-11, both God-breathed texts. So all your human limitations can be exchanged for no limitations by using my word on them. Then, for as many moments as you wish, you will truly emulate my son. That was his choice. That was his choice for you. So that is now your potential choice, so long as you are still breathing, down here. It will please me no end to see you exchanging whatever other thinking you could choose, for DDNA. The foolish preoccupations of the world with its false respect for forms, but not substance. For tones of voice and political correctness, but never grace. For punctiliar observances costing billions of hours and dollars, but not one second really reading the sacred word in the original languages the Holy Spirit himself breathed into my son. Oh, the list could go on and on with the nod to godders who polish up their patent leathers but leave in disarray, God 101. But you will be getting all of their DDNA, potentially, depending upon how you grow and how many others. Dividing up the pie always depends on who grows, who doesn't, in a generation. That thought pleases me no end. The stone the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, Ps 118-22, interpretively quoted 5 ways in the NT, so you can see its vast scope. For you are a stone to be copied on, with my son's thinking, DDNA. Consider the exchange of DDNA for thinking the way the world does, as the consummate racquetball game or marathon race. The latter is the analogy in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1-2's Greek. Incoming non-God thought. Met, by DDNA thought. Making captivity captive, bringing every thought into captivity to Christ's own thinking, 2 Cor 10-5. Ooh, what DDNA thinking, matches, and plays on the incoming non-God thought? Ooh, here's a temptation to anger. Why not meet it with remembrance how all bad stuff got paid for, 2,000 years ago, so it can only profit you, now, Philippians 1:21? Pick any Bible verse you like to use. It demolishes the strongholds of non-God thinking, once you've really learned its meaning. And why does any Bible verse do that? Because I like it that way. I could obviously snap my fingers, have my son do that, really, and fix everything. But I don't like coercion, don't like gerrymandering the truth that not God stuff is what it is. So instead I choose to make DDNA out of everything, and in you, just as in my son, if you choose it. So choose it, and grow richer than all wealth, happier than all happiness, mine. So where's the reason to be angry, fearful, depressed, stuck on earthly things, like the world is, Philippians 3:18-19? Aha! Run with the DDNA thinking you are learning in my system. That's what Paul constantly did, and that's why 2 Tim 4-7-8 is his testimony. Which the Holy Spirit made happen in him. Which that same Holy Spirit did to Christ. Which that same Holy Spirit can do to you, as often as you want to, play. Play with the DDNA you are learning in my system. Play with my son's thinking. You are, by my choice, the star of your own movie. Playing ever before me, since you are a royal priest under my son forever, 1 Pet 2-5, 9, Rev 1-6, Rev 5-10. Every thought you think is to me, whether you are aware of it or not. So play with your life, your thinking before me, 24/7. As you clip your toenails, as you trudge up a hill, as you wake in the morning, as you sleep at night. Just like my servant Moses explained thoroughly and repeatedly to Israel in Deuteronomy. Just like my son did perfectly. Play. As you do, try comparing the life you are beginning to have versus anything else you want to compare. See how much richer and happier you are, even if hurting. You will be hurting, from time to time. Mostly, because Satan and co. will want to encourage you to refuse my system. They encourage by nice and not nice in whatever combination works. Using human agents who generally do not know they are being so used. They confuse and otherwise try to make God a foreign idea, known only in a vague cardboard Y way. And you will be hurting as you grow spiritually, discovering what a waste human ideas are. What once was satisfying to you will become too small. For you are living on divine standards and the human ones, well. Register accurately for what they are, Isa 64-6. So you will have pressure to which you'll succumb because it's a pleasant or unpleasant pressure. Since the body is a slave to feeling, due to Adam's sin. Just use 1 Jn 1-9 and keep on keeping on in my system. It's the Olympic game of Olympic games, as Paul frequently quips in the Greek of what I gave him to write. So agonizomai, training for those games, is what you are doing. Then, you enter into the games themselves, and you will suffer quite a lot, toward the end. But then, so did my son. Fellowship of his sufferings, Paul calls it, in Philippians 3:10. But only when you are sufficiently prepared, do you get that much testing. For I never enroll an athlete in the witness box until he is fully prepared. And the testing is subtle, not a Mack truck or physical illness, unless others need to see such visibility. For obvious suffering is for babies who have left my system, and need something obvious to wake them up. By contrast, Matt 4 and the cross were unseen and mental. Most people can't even understand why Matt 4 is so devastating. Yet, give into its works temptations, hourly. I am invisible, so what's invisible is always the greater. So, beware making a Matthew 4 type religion out of getting this DNA, for then, you will have left my system. Satan loves religion, and that's what the stupid tree of the knowledge of good and evil was. The Eden couple thought they'd become as smart as God if they ate it. With no excuse, for my son met them daily, explaining everything. Competition with my son is not pleasing to me, but competition to become like the Most High for the sake of the Most High, who lives for me, is true challenge, true victory. That's why we as God all throw ourselves down before the truth, Ps 138-2b. Especially, my son, who played with truth, aka DNA, his entire life, down here. Enjoy, without money and without price, as Isaiah puts it in Isa 55. Food of the Word, Matt 4-4. So you will never go hungry. So don't bother with lesser thans. See Ephesians chapters 1-2, Hebrews chapters 1-2 if you have any doubts I'd ever be satisfied with anything less than my son's level of thinking. Which same thinking, I can have built in you, and purposed to do so before you were born, Ephesians 2:10. Notice that ionic dative of purpose, in that verse, built on my son. My son, my son, my son. My works for my son. Ion, of course, was the Greek mythical half-god, half-human founder of all the Greek sea peoples, a fitting allegory for the true founding of all mankind on my son. So, the Holy Spirit had Paul use that myth in witty parallelism to show my superior begetting. Beginning with the dramatic opening in Ephesians chapter 1. Then, going to Ephesians chapter 2. He parallels how Ion was a temple slave in his father, Phoebus Apollo's, house, not knowing his real identity, until at the end of the play, when the god comes to rescue, Deus ex machina. He meets his mother, Crusa, and the whole story comes out. Chastened, Phoebus Apollo sends Athena to announce that as contrition, all the Greek sea peoples will be descended from Ion. Paul parallels that plot deftly in Ephesians, showing how the end of the real play of life is the defeat of Satan and company, if believers who are founded on Christ actually learn him. That's my system of propagating my son, DNA. The readers of the epistle, who weren't merely the Ephesians, it was a circular letter, got the full analogy, since the Greek was so wittily written. And they knew they were not founded by some mythical snake god. Ion means venom, a euphemism for semen, but by my seed, contracted since eternity past, Isa 53:10-12. In the context of the whole chapter, which begins in Isa 52:13. So you are founded on my son, not on man's works. The words epi or gua agathwa can only refer to ho theos at the one end, and nchristoi at the other end. People aren't even in the sentence, except as recipient. Quasi-passive suffixes appended to verbs God does to them, and at the beginning and ending of the verse, but the verse's center is my son and my work on his behalf in eternity past. Tying to the contract of Isa 53:10-12. Walking by means of the Spirit, see, Halak, Hebrew, ties to the OT pattern of hear and believe, the T fell in around your forehead to remind you to think word. Verse ties to 1 Cor 3, the foundation, the cornerstone. So it's a thinking lifestyle, since to be filled with the Spirit means a thinking pattern, as Paul explained in detail in Romans chapter 8. Not something you can even do with your body. I save the soul, not the body. By grace, not by works. So if grace saves, then works don't do anything to help you after salvation, either. Only God's works. Mine. Purposed since eternity past, Ionic dative of purpose for epi. So why do I choose to suddenly interrupt the flow of my discourse to you, and, harangue, on this all-important verse? Which verse is next after verses 0.9 feet s, not of works, lest anyone should boast? Because, I don't want your works. How many times must I say it to the human race? Do they never read my word? Do they never think about its meaning? Tell me how I can make it plainer. Works didn't exist until Adam sinned, and the first thing he did was a work. Matthew 4's temptations are to do works. Isn't the meaning clear, even in translations? Satan didn't tempt my son to get drunk or have a chippy or knock off some potentate, except to bait my son into using his deity to zap Satan for blasphemy, third temptation. Satan used works as the ostensible base of temptation. Note that well. Genesis chapter 3 verse 5, the temptation to eat the knowledge of good and evil was a works temptation. So, when the Eden couple ate that fruit, what did they do? Works. Fig leaves. And so mankind has been sowing, ever since. And so Gal 6-7, applies. Sow to the wind, emptiness, reap the tornado. Me. Divine discipline, Heb 12-6-11. Okay, now what did I do wrong? Did I not make it plain enough? Gird your loins and answer me like a man. Well, Job wouldn't do that when my son put the same proposition to him. Job 38:3, 40:7. Wise man, that Job. Learn from him. God does the instructing, 1 Cor 2:16. Not, 1 Cor 2:15. So, not works. Get it? The translators of EPH 2:10 did not get it. So in translation, EPH 2:10 looks like works you are supposed to do. Satan's way is to translate my word to make it into his word. My word doesn't need translation. I preserved it in the original tongues, and the Holy Spirit can teach you how to read those tongues. That is the holy tongue you are to learn from him. No other. No one knows the things of God but the Spirit investigates all the things of God. So learn from him in my system. No other. Repeat, I don't want lesser thans, for all works are less than I can do, in less than a nanosecond's will. So, I don't credit them. But I do credit prayer prayed according to the trial royal protocol. See number 5 in godsystem.htm, or prayproc.htm. So no works there. And you can pray anything in my son's name just as he promised, back in John chapter 14 verses 13 to 14. Doesn't matter how well you think of yourself, you are in my son, so you have this office forever, untainted. You can't pray at all as an unbeliever, because you are too low. Because I don't want lesser thans, only as a believer you can pray to me if you are in my system, for you are forever in my son. Thus you have the office of royal priest and my righteousness. But if you aren't functioning in my royal system, I won't listen to you, even if you gave all you had to charity, etc. Because I don't want lesser than my standard, and in my son you are of his standard, EPH 2:10. So, you have his standard to follow. If you don't follow it, I won't listen to you until you use 1 JN 1:9 and then do follow it, by being in my system. But if you are in my system, even where you are an axe murderer, I will hear you. For you are not then murdering my word, whereas the majority of the moral believers do. Daily, their prayers go no higher than the ceiling. Again, I don't settle for lesser thans, nor do I settle for lesser than standards, him. Neither need you settle for less, works is less than. Avoid works. As you can tell, as your real and ultimate father, I can adopt a ranting and raving style to show fatherhood. Similar to how James explains the Holy Spirit's pursuing you with love, true meaning of epipotheu, thus alluding to Ps 23:6, but James chapter 4 verse 5 is always blasphemously mistranslated. Notice how I am not at all shy to express withering sarcasm when warranted. My son wasn't shy either, though the translations fuzz over his real words. Read what my Holy Spirit had the gospel writers write in the original languages, and you'll see. Godness is not dull. First I spoke to you the way you expected a father to speak. Now I speak to you more intimately. For I am all personality, not a stereotype. Moreover, just because I can will anything I choose, does not mean I choose to will any old thing. But I willed your existence. Because, I am your father. Your mother is just as much God, the Holy Spirit, and your Lord is my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We choose these subordinations, due to love. Which love, you are free to learn or reject, as you choose. Now, let's recap a third time, varying again the information presented, adding information. For humans need repetition. Each repetition slightly varies, so conveys new insight. To wit, believe in my Son, John chapter 3 verse 16. That gives you the basic DNA, my righteousness, 2 Cor 5:21, and eternal life, John chapter 3 verse 16 again, two of my attributes. Both of which go to a human spirit the Holy Spirit makes at that very moment, Tit 3:5. For I am pure thought, so my immaterial nature can be replicated and cycling, even inside finity. By means of thought. This replication is under contract, the 5LXX infinitives of Isa 53:10-11, illustrating how the replication and cycling were made inside my son's humanity. And hence out from him can be made inside you. Purifying, plundering, exhibiting, sculpting, justifying. So you can be filled up with the rest of my DNA thinking at your option, by living in my system, John chapter 4 verse 24, Romans chapter 8 verse 4, EPH 3:15-19, EPH 4:11-16. For you are a royal priest to me forever, 1 Pet 2:5-9, Rev 1:6, Rev 5:10. And a king priest, if you grow up in my son's thinking pattern, inherit the kingdom, and like verses, i.e., Jas 1:12 and 2:5, in my spirit's inspired Greek context, translations are horrible. My power, my works, your choice. So choose marital intimacy with my son, learning his every thought as I commissioned be written via the Holy Spirit in Scripture. My Scripture. Not someone else's. Enjoy exchanging your own thoughts for his. Enjoy growing in rapport with him, and therefore with us. Delight thyself in fatness, Isa 55. But I won't coerce you. I get what I want, and I don't want lesser thans, but I also don't want to coerce. So you get what you want, and what you want of me, you will get. So take care to be informed of what you want from me, for every second you breathe you choose or reject something about me. Me, not religion. Me, not people. Me, not the world. First commandment, as my servant John explained in 1 John and the gospel the Holy Spirit gave him to write. However, if you only want me a little bit, then believe in my son, John chapter 3 verse 16, and afterwards forget it. I will remember, and rescue you to heaven, etc., forever, when your body dies, salvation. And you will happily live with my son forever, though if merely saved, you won't be close to him. You'll need to learn his thinking pattern to get closer to him. For compatibility depends on like-mindedness, whereas salvation solely depends on his payment. So you can't lose salvation ever. My son paid for it all, John chapter 10 verse 28. I cannot be cheated, Gal 6-7. You are thus free to reject or accept. My son paid for everything with his thinking, which is my DNA given to my son's humanity by the Holy Spirit, via the word as then revealed. Thus my son's humanity was transmuted into DNA, making him become the way, the truth, and the life. All this, the 5LXX infinitives of Isa 53-10-11 explain. So that same contract is thus open to you. It's now only a question of how much of what he paid, I choose to transfer to you, which choice I already set aside in trust before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1. So I only choose to transfer DNA wealth to those who choose to grow up to the fullness of Christ in my system, EPH 4:13. Very few believers in church, aka body of Christ, will choose to grow up to pleroma, fullness, status. So all that DNA wealth will be split among them, per the contract clause in Isa 53-12. I made that contract in eternity past, and it governs forever. So you are either people booty for a great one, pleroma status believer, or you yourself will be a great one, who gets people booty and the enormous material blessings forever which necessarily accompany all that DNA. Your choice, whether you are a loser or a winner. In any event, don't bother with religion, it's a waste of your time and mine. Zech 7, Isa 1:13, Rev 17. I rejected all religion before there was a universe, hence the Mosaic law spoofed religion, since the sacrifices taught what I would do for mankind, rather than what mankind should do for me. I don't need mankind to do anything for me, and the Mosaic law proved that, though very few listen. Because I don't like lesser thans. All sin is petty just as religion is petty, since religion is the father of sin, Gen 3-5, Jn 8:44. Accounting its movements and hardships as if they deserved something from God. Nothing could be more arrogant than religion in any form. If you do not wish to be cursed, avoid religion like the plague it is. Satan uses religion to curse, and I must punish it also. Religion is empty, so reaps emptiness, Gal 6-7. So that's why my son yearned to pay for all mankind, Luke chapter 22 verses 15, 12, 50. Thus he fulfilled the law, Rom 10-4, Heb 7 18-28, 9-15, 10-9. Nerd note, end in Rom 10-4 is telos, meaning completion. Fulfillment, legal term, perfection, of a contract. So, he got what he wanted, and he wanted to be closest to me, Matt 4-4, Jn 4:34. That is also what he wants for you, John chapter 17. Which prayer of his, I answer by giving you this post-salvation option. Do you want me to make you like my son? The Holy Spirit can do to you the same thing as he did for my son by my decree, Philippians 2:5-10, Hebrews 12, 1-2. So, how much do you want what my son prayed for in John chapter 17? That's how much you'll get. Repeated warning, if you aren't learning his thinking pattern in my system, then you do not want what he prayed for. If you persist in that rejection, you will be retarded spiritually, and hence will be miserable down here. Then you will suffer capital punishment for your refusal, 1 Jn 5:16. After that, you go to heaven, etc., forever. You will surely be happy, but somewhat akin to a child's happiness, nothing more, though child, then is far higher than the highest maturity, down here. Still, you could be much closer and much more adult. Forever. Your choice. If not learning has been your choice, change your mind, use 1 Jn 1-9 and get in and stay in my system. So long as you are breathing, you can change your mind, and I will give you enough time. That's what my son asked for, in John chapter 17. So it doesn't matter what you've done wrong, it matters what he thought right. Which, you can learn. For true morality is what serves me, and what serves me is you learning his thinking. Not what you do for people. I am God. God is greater than people. God doesn't need what people need, and God in his pleasure can so vastly more benefit people to express his pleasure than all the good deeds piled up since Adam until the end of the millennium. What, does no one notice I gave the entire planet an extra 490 years of life, so it could last long enough between Noah and Abram becoming Abraham? So what do you think I do now, since my son is seated and ruling? Now, that what Noah and Abraham couldn't even know, every believer on the planet now can know fully? Why do you think Paul wrote of the pre-canon period as childish, 1 Cor 13:10-13? For the head is in writing, now, the better way is his thinking. Atop the body, see, small pun in 1 Cor 12:31. By the way, if you don't want me ever at all, you can reside in hell instead, the only place whose characteristics fit the character of those who never once believe in my son. That's what they want, to be away from me. So, that's what they get. They wanted their menstrual rags of good deeds, Isa 64:6, but all of man is unclean, Rom 3:23. Only my DDNA and my son sufficed, Isa 53:10-12. They wanted their works to count, so refused my grace, Rom 4:1-5, Galatians chaps 2-3, Romans chaps 9-11, Matt 7:22. So as you can see, there are two basic ways to be immoral, the obvious, gross way, and the pretending to be holy way. Both are holotry, the antithesis of oneness, the marital unity my son prayed for in John chapter 17. Satan and co. chose divorce also, and are earnestly contesting for your agreement with their choice. Which is why Satan personally invented religion for the human race in Gen 3-5. They will end up in hell, called the Lake of Fire, by then, Matt 25-41. Their choice. So, see, you have two sides, two choices, and your life down here is constantly a choosing of one side or the other, just as it was in Genesis chapters 2-3. So see? Sin didn't stop me, and it needn't stop you. Your choice, from which tree? My son's cross, or that old tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan's substitute first fruits. You decide, then, what you want. And rest assured, you will get what you want. Matt 7:1-2 is a general principle, not merely a rule for the sin of judging. You will be mirrored back, Ps 18:25, Oba 1:15, Mk 4:24. So be careful, what you want. I'll keep warning you from time to time, if the choice you're making isn't in your best interest. But I will never coerce you or do puny pony tricks. God is not dog, that he should salivate, wag or chase his tail. God doesn't do, nor does he ever authorize, cheap, hallucinogenic buffoonery. Like make a statue cry, the sun turn backwards, miraculous, but amateurish artwork on highway underpasses. Cheese sandwiches, or tortillas. God doesn't speak in voices, and never authorizes anyone less to do so either. Mary's busy having fun in heaven, and has never appeared to anyone down here. Neither has any angel, since John's vision on Patmos. And no one in my system ever does circus tricks, but everyone in Satan's system specializes in all manner of seductive ploys. For, I am majestic, not magic. Magic is for lesser thans, like Satan and co. and all who foolishly listen to them. If you read your Bible, you'd know all this, and wouldn't be fooled. So because I don't like lesser thans, I will never treat you as a lesser than. My son's cross payment makes you not lesser than, but a son of God. Gal 3:26-4-7. So you decide what you want like an adult son, one who has taken the toga virilis, Mark 14:36, Rom 8:15, Gal 4-6. For that is how I will treat you so long as you live down here. For what happened to him, he prayed happened to you, John chapter 17. And I always honor my son. Even so, I will honor you. For God is love, and honor is the highest expression of it, Philly 2-5:10, Philly 1:21, Col 1:27. So see, I really am your father. If therefore you would honor me, learn my son, 2 Pet 3:18. my son, not anyone else. And then you really do fulfill the first commandment. As a result of which, my pleasure will overflow to all your periphery, doing far more works than you can even imagine. EPH 3 2021.